Well, Siobhan Canty is on the line. We're going to bring her up here pretty quickly.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Siobhan. Siobhan Canty, President and CEO of the Jefferson Community Foundation, and she's going to update us on what we're seeing this week, community services in the community and the services available from our nonprofits, unmet needs, current developments here in Jefferson County. Welcome, as usual, and this is becoming a regular thing with us.
Oh, it's such a joy, Chris, and thank you so much for having me. And it's been an interesting opportunity to kind of mark our transition as a community as we've all come together to handle the COVID pandemic and the associated economic impacts. And I'm just so the ability of this community to come together and respond in a way that supports all people who live here to ensure that this, what we hope is a momentary huge impact, doesn't turn into a lifelong set of problems for our neighbors. And so we have over 560 people that have come together to donate almost $530,000. All of that goes immediately out, within a week, goes out to our organizations that are serving food, shelter, medical care, mental health assistance, and it's just been a remarkable, remarkable effort on the part of this community, and it's been entirely my pleasure to join you each week to tell you how that's shaping up.
Well, the community sure has pulled together, hasn't it?
It's incredible. You know, I have to say, I hope, one of my hopes is, I believe firmly that because of the way we've all come together to do this work, we are going to end up with even stronger safety net services than we had when we started all of this. And that is a remarkable thing to be able to say. And I deeply believe that if we really consider this and own this success and remember that we can apply this same kind of process and thinking to the big obstacles we are going to have to address going forward, things like education going online, youth opportunity, job training, affordable housing for our essential workers, we can do this. We have to come together. Everyone brings what they can and do it in a community context so that each individual act of giving adds up to something greater than its part. And that's what we've created here all together, working together as a community. I'm just so proud.
It's interesting because sometimes it takes, as in many things in life, sometimes it takes a trauma to a greater or lesser degree to raise awareness and actually have us change our behavior somewhat and get turned on to a lot of alternate creative ways of addressing our everyday situations. And if there's any good that's coming out of this, that is one of the best, one of the most wonderful goods to come out of this whole situation. And I have a T-shirt that I bought once, and on the front of it, it says, "Wake the folk up." And so...
I love it.
Yeah. So all of our folks out there are waking up, and it's a good thing.
It's a great thing. And we do have such important work to do, not only in the realm of ensuring that people of color and Black lives are protected in our community, but also for ensuring that more broadly the essential workers in our community who have helped us through this, the grocery workers, the waste disposal folks, the nurses, the teachers, that they all have affordable housing, that our young people have opportunities here. They don't have to leave. And then when they're ready to buy a home, they can afford one. So, you know, there's just so much for us to do moving forward to ensure that the heart of Jefferson County remains who we have been into the future. And I hope that That's part of the awakening here, is that we can, as we move into phase three, out of phase two, that we can carry that with us and continue that conversation about how we're going to do that.
You know, Siobhan, one of the things that I think about a lot are, you know, especially all of our service workers, you know, I mean, in the United States, at one point, and I don't know what the statistic is now, but 80% of every single job, available job in the United States, is a service job. And a lot of that is low wage or tipped income or tipped employees or whatever. But it's interesting to me to think about people going back to work, but that means families are going back to work. That means families are leaving their homes, and families have kids. And so we're at a kind of a crossroads with what we're going to need to be doing with childcare, education, and all the rest of it. So there's a lot of work to be done there.
This is one of the greatest awakenings for me in this process is, you know, parents will not be surprised at all to see that childcare has been vastly inadequate as we've moved through this. And to a certain extent, that was able to be handled by folks staying home from their jobs. But now we're reopening, and it's becoming very clear to me that nationally and locally, we have a real need to support working through families through increased childcare. Some of the challenge comes from additional regulation coming from the state level in terms of what that means and what the requirements of licensed childcare facilities are. And there are plenty of advocacy efforts that folks can get involved in. Whether you have children or not, we can all do something to have those requirements relaxed to the extent that more children can be cared for and more parents can go to work. And I think locally, certainly the Community Foundation will be advocating for and looking for opportunities to fund, as we are able, increased child care for our working families. We have some good news coming from the fund this week in that regard. We were able to make a grant to the Cedar Root Folk School to provide financial assistance to families who might not otherwise be able to attend their classes. So that's a great example of the kind of opening of opportunity that's already here and expanding it to include more children.
And there's got to be a lot of conversation, a lot of discussion going on about that. I remember my former spouse had child care for a while, as a small business. And there were a lot of really, really important things that she needed to do in order to qualify as a provider. And when we're talking about streamlining things or making things, relaxing regulations, that doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to be compromising the quality of an individual that's providing child care.
That's absolutely right. The quality of service provision and the high standards that any child care provider has to meet would remain in place. What we're really talking about are additional infrastructure needs, additional programmatic needs, for example, formal education programs. And of course, as a community, we want to ensure that our educational opportunities for children of all ages are there. But do we need those to be all delivered in the same place and by perhaps a single provider? I think that was very daunting for a lot of folks who are not making a lot of money as child care providers and who, when those additional requirements came online, just were unable to meet them. I think we lost about a third of our child care slots when those additional requirements came in. I am not advocating that we don't have a standard to meet. I'm just saying we have to consider a broad range and think of this not one child care provider at a time, but as a child care system in our community, thinking about our schools and other nonprofit organizations that can augment the individual providers to come up with a sufficient landscape.
Well, you said the magic word there, Siobhan, and that was system. System, systematic, however you want to address it. There are a lot of things to be discussed about that. And as I understand it, there are going to be a few powwows coming up, workshop. You're having a workshop, aren't you?
We're having a workshop this afternoon. It's more on opening for nonprofits. But certainly the Community Foundation that is the opportunity that the Community Foundation provides, really, is the community context for giving so that each one of us can build those systems. You know, otherwise, we're each making our own independent decisions. We support that idea, and we think it can be augmented with a community context like the COVID Fund to provide systems thinking. So I think we're moving in that direction. It's pretty exciting. And then now is the time because we're in such a moment of transition and building the future we all want to see.
I know. And people bringing ideas. I mean, I think I told you before, I'm constantly astounded at the creative thinking and the ideas that keep coming forth, you know, and you run across those every single day, every single minute, every single hour because of what you do, which is a good thing for people contributing all of these thoughts and ideas and plans.
Well, we have been, you know, we've been thinking about what's next for us, Chris, because both the number of proposals and the number of donations are going down, as is to be expected. The proposals and donations to the COVID fund. And so what we're considering is sunsetting the fund when Jefferson County moves into phase three. And so just a notice out there to nonprofits and donors that June will be fully active in terms of both proposals and donations and grants, but that I think when we move into phase three in early July, we will be looking at potentially shutting down the fund. And if we end up moving back into phase two, we would reopen it. And that gives the Community Foundation the opportunity to be part of the broader recovery effort. And when you were talking about cool ideas, the ones that we're looking at are really about how to support our local creative entrepreneurs. All those, the sail makers, the bow makers, the carvers, the food product makers, the artists, those folks who have been at the core, at the heart of our economic development, but who are really under-recognized, under-resourced, and under-celebrated. And we're having a number of conversations right now about how we can support them as part of the recovery. So that's exciting, too.
And the most important thing, as you say, is maintaining the agility to be able to move when you need to move in one direction or the other, right?
Exactly. And I hope that the community saw that and was proud of our ability as a community to do that through the COVID fund. You know, I wrote the first weeks of the pandemic, I wrote a piece in our local. None of us are prepared for this. There are no pots of money sitting around. There are no plans waiting to be dusted off. None of us know what's going to happen. The best we can do is to come together, bring what we have, be willing to be flexible, and put in methods so that we can monitor the landscape, monitor the systems, and be responsive on a weekly basis. And boy, did we as a community. I'd say that even today, we're finding new needs and opportunities to support things that we could have never predicted. So for that willingness, for that creativity, for that giving sense, I think we are truly a unique community.
Well, I'm 100% behind it. Mighty happy to be here, and I'm mighty happy to be here on KPTZ as some kind of a conduit for the work that you do. I'm just happy as a clam to do that.
Well, you all have been an extraordinary partner throughout this, Chris, and I certainly hope that this is only the beginning of a long and beautiful future together.
That's in a movie someplace, wasn't it? Well, Siobhan Canty, President and CEO of the Jefferson Community Foundation, and updating us on what we're seeing this week and beyond in the community and services available from our nonprofits and the unmet needs and the current developments here in Jefferson County. We meet every week at 10:30 right here on Morning on the Salish. Siobhan, thanks again for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Chris. Have a great week.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.